Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
friend? Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
This is Moscow.
Good morning. Yeah, this is Tech Talk, and I got Michael Tech Talk Kassler, and I think maybe, do we have? Oh, I can hear him. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. That's why I'm laughing. That was a great intro. I like that music.
I do too. I like it a lot. I like it a lot because, as a matter of fact, it's that's from Public Service Broadcasting. Gagarin is the name of that that little thing. I have no idea what the if that's a real. I pulled it off of Spotify. I have to confess. That's what I just grabbed it off of Spotify. Hey, it's you're listening to WRLR. This is Tech Talk, and it is September 19th, 2015. And we're having lots of problems here. I can hear you finally, Dave, and now my headphones are completely shot here, so I'm not actually able to hear anything you're saying. Hold on. It's always something here. Oh, maybe. Okay. If I hold it just like that, maybe I can hear it. Anyways, it is, I was actually a little surprised we came in and able to get connected. There was huge torrential downpours this last couple of days, and supposedly continuing on today too. Hopefully it's been a little sunnier up there.
It's been a great week. It's light rain today though.
Okay.
Last week,
unfortunately, we're missing our good friend Jay Garman. He will not be with us today. Here we go. I switched headphones. I think maybe I'll be able to hear you this way. He's not going to be. Well, you know what? It's not the headphones. It's the connections. It's all these little wires. They're not. They're all breaking down and breaking apart and all that. I got to break. You know what I got to do? I got to stop complaining. I got to stop complaining and just bring my own equipment in, and then I'd be fine. That was what they recommend, anyways. But you know, hey, if I can get it for free, exactly.
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Free stuff. So what's going on in technology news? Anything good?
Yeah, well, speaking of free, Apple just threw out a brand new free upgrade. If you're in Apple and doing the Apple thing, it'll work on virtually any of the current Apple devices. If it can run Apple 8, you can put in, or iOS 8, you can put in iOS 9. I actually did it myself on my Apple 2, which is ancient by today's tech standards, and no problems. Now, they promise a lot of good things.
Well, you're talking about an iPad, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right. You said it was an Apple too.
So
you can put it on a desktop.
No, this is different from the desktop stuff. This is their mobile operating system, the iOS. So I've got an iPad. If you've got an iPhone, you'll be pleased to know you can put that on there. I guess though, if you've got the 6 or 6S, there are some features and functionality that are going to be available only to you, not to, you know, the run of the mill regular folk like me, you know, or others that haven't invested in Jobs, Steve Jobs, legacy and all that. But it's supposed to be got some good stuff, got some good things going on.
That's exciting. So you haven't installed it yet on your iPad.
I have.
Your old iPad. You have.
Yes. I did install it.
What do you think?
So far, it hasn't made huge differences and huge jumps and leaps that I have things that I've seen. But I will tell you a couple of the things that I think if you are an Apple user, you're going to appreciate a great deal. I know I like it, the updates here. Now, I'm not willing to say I like it enough that that I would jump ship and get rid of all my Android equipment, but I do like some of the features that they added. One thing they did right off the bat, I noticed immediately, they more intelligently sized the icons. And so all these little app icons you've got spread out all over the place, they're a little more efficiently sized, you can get more of them into your groupings and your little boxes that you make if you do that kind of thing, which I do. And that was nice. So I don't have to have so many pages within pages within pages of little app icons and things like that. They claim, and I haven't been able to experience this yet. I can't say yes or no on this. They claim that they're able to now provide up to an hour of additional battery life for most devices as well. So I don't know what they changed in the back end to make that happen, but that's supposed to be a good thing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That you know, it's nice that things are moving along. The also supposedly Apple has had discussions with the California Department of Motor Vehicles about self-driving cars.
Oh.
This has been a rumor for a while. Not just self-driving cars, but there's also some information to indicate that they're developing their own electric car as well.
Okay. Well, no, that would be interesting. And I had heard that rumor as well quite some time ago, but it was, you know, at best a rumor. So it's interesting to hear that that may become somewhat of a reality here moving forward. Now,
yeah, the Guardian has gotten hold of some documents about this, and they also hired the former head of global quality control for Fiat, Doug Betts, for Fiat Chrysler automobiles, and which is a discouraging sign if you ask me, Chrysler and Fiat's quality control record. But why would they be hiring this guy?
That's what they've they're gonna do. They say, hey, we're gonna take over the self-driving vehicle market by fiat instead of by hard work. So
our good one, that's very good. The Wall Street Journal has also reported that they have several hundred employees are working on an electric car.
Wow. You know, I'm excited. I really am. I'm thrilled about it. As you know, I'm a big fan of the idea of moving towards automated driving, and the more that we can do in that direction, the better. I think that's going to be a very, very cool thing. I was listening though to somebody else. I'm not gonna mention on air another podcast because I don't want you listening to somebody else. But because you'll discover just exactly how horrible this is.
it's not hard for us to get beaten competition.
No. So that's why I made an app for WRLR, because I don't want people going to other radio stations. That's the end of it right there. No, but I did hear somewhere else there was a very, very interesting discussion about not. You know, I always think about it this way. At least I get stuck in this kind of A/B sort of picture in my head of either A, you've got what we have today, these essentially manually driven vehicles and automobiles, versus point B, where you have completely automated and autonomous vehicles zipping you all over the place, like something out of the Jetsons. And what they made the point of it was that there really is going to be an in-between state where, and we're starting to see some of these vehicles come out now, where the cars are autonomous to a point in that they recognize when there's cars in front of them. They can detect sides of the roads and even lanes and help you with lane changes, parallel parking, making sure that if you're in cruise, you're not going to go slamming into somebody from behind at 75 miles an hour, this kind of thing. But the problem with that intermediate state, I guess, is that psychologically, there's a lot of people that aren't going to get it. And they're going to put the car in cruise and then like crawl into the back seat and, start getting ready for work, make a sandwich or something. And so there's a lot of fear. It sounds crazy, but I got to say, I've read those stories about the lame cruise tech control that we have today. So I can imagine how much worse it's going to be when that cruise control is actually good and keeps you in the lane and things.
And I think I was reading something, I believe it was four or five levels of autonomous driving, and most cars today have the first level. Even things like anti-lock brakes, that's a bit of autonomy, right? That takes some control away from the driver, or augments the control of the driver.
Yeah, that's interesting.
As you say, active cruise control is another good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's a radar system in the car, and if you get too close to the car in front of you, it'll apply the brakes.
Yep.
So I think we're already just entering the very early stages of that. In between time, you have. But if autonomous, someone made the point, if autonomous cars prove much safer than humans, then it may become illegal to drive, for humans to drive cars.
Yeah.
You know? And I guess they're already in mining operations, they're using some mining operations, they're using automated vehicles.
Well, and I'm not really sure, and I think we've had this conversation before too, is I don't know why it's not illegal to have human drivers in more situations. Mining is a great example. Why do you need people in there? But also, too, you look at the number of accidents related to operator error when it comes to trains and all that.
You would think it would be easy to automate trains.
Oh, exactly. It's got to be one of the simplest problems out there. So, which leads me to believe, my cynical heart, that there's more going on than a technology issue to overcome here, and that there's politics and lobbying and unions and big corp that doesn't want to let go of it. Whatever it is that's happening in there is something beyond the where I like to be, which is in a back room with all the lights turned off, looking at a green strip of code. I like those problems. Those are generally easy to fix. It's the world problems that are not so quick.
Well, there are automated. I'm not so sure with big trains, big freight trains or even larger passenger trains, it would be as easy as we're thinking. But certainly with commuter trains, they've had that in San Francisco for many years, right? The BART system.
Yeah.
That's all automated.
Is BART completely automated?
I could be wrong about that, but I thought it wasn't. It has been for some time.
You're probably right. I mean, like I said, it doesn't make sense to me that these things would not be automated. That's what I keep running my head into. Maybe there's something I don't understand as far as what's involved in getting a train from one place to another.
Well, that's what we need. If there's anybody, any of our listeners, will let us drive a train.
Exactly. let us go. Yeah, why not? Come on.
Drop us a line. A friend of mine is actually big in the rail industry. And he's also a very techie guy. So
yeah.
Maybe I'll put the question to him. Perhaps we could even get him on. Also, and here's it's fair, all well and good to speculate about this stuff in an abstract way, but I actually heard a chilling thing that made me wonder when it comes to automation. They're talking about having a robotic garbage man.
Hmm.
And it's something about that kind of, that's hard for me to wrap my head around.
Though. Well, and that I think, see, this is a great, I think that is actually a phenomenal intermediary step between getting acceptance of autonomously run vehicles in general. You think about the garbage pickup cycle, and it's a very repetitive task, of course, but the main thing that it has going for it is as an intermediary autonomous step is that it's a very slow driving process. The vehicles that they have in California that Google is running around and things like that, they're not flying around at 55 miles an hour. They're keeping them at basically bicycle speeds. 25, I think, is the top, in fact, the top speed that they're allowing these vehicles to go. That's exactly how it works for, you would think, postal delivery would be another great solution for that, as well as garbage pickup. Now, garbage pickup, if anything, might be almost a little more difficult just because you'd have to have something that would recognize the can.
Yeah, you don't want them picking up the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
You don't want them pick up your cat in the yard. Or,
or around Halloween, kids dressed as... That's all you need. That's all you need.
Or any other, and you know, your lawn jockey or whatever.
Yeah. Now here, I did a quick Google. I went to the University of Google and I asked Mr. Google. I said, "Hey, is Bard automated?" So Bard is largely automated, but not completely automated. And in fact, back in 2013 in October, there was a major BART strike. And I remember this strike coming through, and I didn't look at it in this perspective, but there was an article here on TechCrunch discussing how there was a lot of argument and suggestions that San Francisco should avoid the whole labor mess by completing the automation process and completely automating even the train operators, and that this was put in perspective as saying, just like Paris and other world cities have done. And so the possibility is there to automate. BART did not wind up going fully automated, but they did not do it because of technical issues. They did it because of these labor and other issues.
Oh, by the way, BART stands for Bay Area Rapid Transit, if I remember correctly. And Paris, I've been on the subways in Paris not that long ago, and they're not automated, as far as I know.
Well, I don't know.
But then again, I didn't see any. I didn't go talk to the engineer.
Well, yeah, I mean, so there's automated and then there's automated. You know, so automated, when we think of it again, I think it's this failure of understanding for us. I have the same issue where it's like you go from A to B of, oh, automated means there's no people anywhere. But the reality is, of course, even if you've got your vehicle itself fully automated, you still need to have individuals managing safety, taking tickets, you know, there's still human interaction that has to occur. So I'm looking right now on Wikipedia, and there is actually a page there that is a list of automated urban metro subway systems in which they include Barcelona, or I should say Barcelona. And
Barcelona. Yeah, that sounds great. We should find a way to say Barcelona in every broadcast.
Barcelona, yeah. And they've got Copenhagen. Copenhagen is in there. The Turin Metro in Rome, of course, which also Rome and Milan and Brescia. London. London Gatwick's airport is completely automated. Paris Metro Line 14, 15, and 1 are all automated. Now, you may have been on one of the lines that was not automated. Maybe that's what you saw. Also, Germany.
There's lots of them. We were on several, and we may not have noticed them. Mm-hmm. It might be transparent.
Mm-hmm. Now, and of course, now I noticed this as well. I wasn't even including this as a subway system or a metro subway system, but they're including these in that. And this had occurred to me as well. So if you've ever been, of course, to O'Hare, there's the airport transit system. It's essentially the monorail. It takes you from the parking all the way through to any of the terminals that you want to go to. They're including that type of thing. So that would also then include the Las Vegas airport, and the Las Vegas has got a fully automated monorail too that takes you from one end of the strip to the other. I forgot about that as well. So
yeah,
there are a lot of automated solutions out there and possibilities. Why it's not more? I don't know. Maybe it's.
I'm guessing all those systems have in common is that they're all pure electric systems, as opposed to a diesel hybrid locomotive type.
You're probably correct about that too. I'm willing to bet you're absolutely correct about that. And I'm not going to sit here on air and Google more on it, but. But for those that are interested, there's a wealth of information out there for you. I will make a mention, though. As I was bringing up Wikipedia, I don't know if I mentioned this as a cool site of the week at any point. I love this. So I love Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a wonderful, wonderful site.
We must have.
You know, but not just Wikipedia, though. Hold on. I know people know Wikipedia. Come on. I'm not going to give you Wikipedia as my cool site of the week. I could have, maybe. I don't know. You know, if it was a real slow week, maybe. But what I've been using now for, I got to say, it's probably good on to a year or so. It's an overlay. It's a plugin for your browser. I've got Chrome. It works beautifully with Chrome. It's called WikiWand, WAND, like a magic wand. And what it does is magic to Wikipedia. It really makes Wikipedia pop. It makes it stand out. It makes it much, much easier to read. It puts it into sort of a, if you're familiar with like different web design frameworks, it makes it almost look like a bootstrap, Twitter bootstrap type of framework for HTML5 web design. And so real slick, real easy to use and read. It's free. It's easy to pop it into your browser. I know it works in Chrome. I know it works in Firefox. If you do a little search, I'll try to remember to put a link on the podcast page, WikiWand, and makes it a lot easier to read that stuff.
That's something I didn't know, and I would probably find that very useful. That sounds like a great tip.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, it's like I said, just do a little goog on the WikiWand, and you'll find it. It'll be there.
Goog on the WikiWand.
You do a little goog on the WikiWand. Hey, say, you know, I'm making up my own language here too. I like it.
One problem that self-driving cars would definitely solve, by the way, is something I read about in China, and I bet most of our listeners haven't heard of this, that when often if there's a car and pedestrian accident, that oftentimes the driver of the car will back up and hit the person again.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes even a third time. Well, you have heard about
this. Oh, yes. I read a disturbing but intriguing article about the reasons for this as well. It was really a really horrifying thing that happens. There's a term for it too. It's like this, they call it like the second accident or something like this, but the basic idea
is all about compensation, right?
Yeah.
If somebody's dead, there's a between $50,000 and $75,000 compensation you're required to make to the victim's family. But if they're injured, you could be on the hook for lifetime care, which could run over $1 million.
Yes, exactly. And so that's why you see these videos happen. I had thought that it was, you know, overblown, but until I read this article and I saw some of the stuff on the web. But yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. Is if they hit someone, the rule of thumb is make sure they're dead. If you hit somebody in China,
that's crazy.
Horrible. Now, yeah, and changing to autonomous driving and all that would be helpful in that situation. However, I think it's going to be a very, very long time before the vehicles are at the point where they can actually navigate well in very, very concentrated urban environments, such as the ones where we're seeing those videos come from. I think the automated vehicles, we're going to see them first on, as we talked about, like garbage and postal and package delivery. But then secondly, will be on the freeways and highways, where it's a little more of a controlled and open environment for it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And but in the interim right now, I guess I was kind of shocked to hear how much wearables are finding their way into the corporate environment.
Oh,
the work environment.
No, I haven't heard this.
There's a new study and they're calling it the Invisible Revolution. I got this from Tech Republic, one of your favorite sources.
Mm-hmm.
And employers are finding all kinds of useful applications for wearables. To track employees, to improve productivity, that sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's been one of those solutions that needs a problem in my mind. I think that's been the failure with the Apple Watch as well. And Apple's been good about doing that, is kind of, you know, in some ways putting the cart before the horse, but really basically sort of throwing something out there that they know is cool and waiting for people to catch up with the usage of it. And maybe that's what we're seeing with this, is these wearables, they're out there now. People are starting to pick them up and use them personally. And now we're going to start seeing some of these business use cases coming through. I can't imagine too many people are super excited about your boss is going to give you this wearable so that he knows where you are at all times.
That's what beepers were all about, right? They were kind of a leash at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like industry and a business might be leading the way on this. There's a surprising number of companies have pilot programs in place to implement wearables for safety for safety and efficiency reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like I said, I mean, I can really see a lot of valuable, you know, usage of that. You think about situations where people are in high stress, high intensity activities where having free hands is definitely is a valuable thing. You know, surgeons and doctors running around, they're talking to one patient and then, you know, instead of having to pull their phone out because it buzzed and do whatever, they can get the message, the notification, hey, lab results are ready, you know, right on their wrist. These are the types of things I think that are going to make a difference and make things better for people. And I'm sure I've got a failure of imagination even as to what the potential is going to be for this. You know, and these wearables are getting, and speaking, I mean, of course, on the medical side, it's real easy to see the value of that, not just for doctors, but for the patients too. You know, rather than having to, you know, ask the patient to record their blood pressure and heart rate and so on and their movement and what they're doing for the day, you strap a wearable on them and that just gets fed up automatically to the doctor.
Yeah, you know? And it's constant.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, you know, you don't have to send somebody in a check every few hours. You have a constant monitoring.
Exactly.
The percentages are, companies are, 61% of the devices are smartwatches and 42% are smart glasses. And
really?
32% of companies were using both.
Smart glasses, too. I did not realize they were starting to infiltrate to that degree. I haven't seen any.
Yeah, these are all sort of trial programs. There's not any huge implementation. But they're saying that the wearable marketplace will be about $6 billion by next year.
Wow. Man. Yeah. $6 billion with a B. I like it, man. I would like to thumb a big like thumb on that. Hey, you know what? I'm going to, speaking of big like thumbs, I'm going to turn it over for just a minute here. I'm going to cut you out, Dave, because I'm going to turn it over for just a minute here to Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg's going to talk to us about the like button and the kind of thing that he's seen. And if you hadn't heard it yet, he's going to talk about the dislike button that
can't wait.
They're coming up with. So hold on. I'm going to be flipping it over to Mark here for about a minute, and then we'll be right back.
We're thinking about it on the dislike button. The like button is really valuable because it's a way for you to very quickly express a positive emotion or sentiment when someone puts themselves out there and shares something. There are more sentiments that people want to express than just positivity or that they like something. You know, a lot of times people share things on Facebook that are sad moments in their lives or are tough cultural or social things. And often people tell us that they don't feel comfortable pressing like because like isn't the appropriate sentiment when someone lost a loved one or is talking about a very difficult issue. And I think giving people the power to do that in more ways with more emotions would be powerful. But we need to figure out the right way to do it so that it ends up being a force for good and not a force for bad and demeaning the posts that people are putting out there.
So that was Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, and he's talking about something that has been discussed a lot, putting up a dislike button or other type of button as opposed to just the like button that we've become used to.
It's nice to have Mark on the program.
Yeah, well, you know, a good friend of mine, gave him a call. He couldn't stay for long. Popped in, said his piece, and then that was it. You could hear him. He was fading out at the end there because he was literally walking out the door as he just didn't have time. But no, that comes from his. He actually gave a public speech about this very recently. It's available on YouTube. You can find it. The full speech is available on there. That was just a clip that I yanked out of it that I thought was interesting because, you know, it hits on the basic real critical points that people have had about this like button situation is that, of course, there are so many emotions that you want to express. You know, if a loved one passes away or there's, some right. situation that occurs and you want to tell people, hey, I hear your pain. I recognize what has happened to you. I don't really have any words for you, but I just want you to know I'm there. The like button doesn't really... it's not the best way to do that.
It's like the start button in Windows, right? You know, use it to shut down. I mean, it's what you press.
Oh, well, you know, the start button I didn't have a problem with because I kind of saw it as, you know, Windows aloha, really. Aloha. It's start aloha.
Be better. That's great. They should have that. Never mind the start button. They should have the aloha button.
You know,
it's a $1 million idea
right there. Where was I? Where was Bill Gates when I was, you know, oh man, I lost it. It's gone. Hey, you know, Windows 10 is
out.
You
should have put it on the air. You're screwed now.
That's it. I don't know. Isn't there some kind of automatic copyright? I don't know.
No, copyright it right away. Right. Well, now you do have automatic
copyright. There you go. That's right.
And you said the date at the beginning of the broadcast, which you don't do very often because we often rerun.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Good. Well, and that's why I've thank you for noticing. That's something that I'm attempting to remember to do on a regular basis is that, you know, we're recording today on September 19th. It's Saturday, 2015. So that when we do replay audio, people will know when it's from. And front of the show seems like a good time to do that. If you catch us in the middle, you may not know what we're talking about. Things change so fast in technology, but right. a lot of the stuff that we discuss, you know, it has relevance over time, lesser or greater. When we miss a show, we gotta do it. We gotta put that out there.
I appreciate it. Especially that's one of the things I hate about the internet sometimes. You'll find an article on the internet and it won't be dated.
Yes.
And that can be very, very frustrating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That drives me, especially when, being on Facebook and talking politics and things occasionally as is my want, you try to post something relevant about somebody and then you realize it's like, oh, that was from 4 years ago, you know? That's not even anything anymore. Oh, but the one thing I want to close, you know, with the Facebook thing though is, it's going to be interesting to see not only what is chosen, if they're really going to do a dislike button. I think they're probably going to. I think he's not going to add a dislike button, is what it's sounding to me. They're going to add a button that is something like "heard you," you know, that sort of thing. I hear you. And that makes more sense than a dislike. The dislike button, of course, could be used for ill. You know, it could be used for slamming people. Things like that. It's got to be simple though. You know, they have now, of course, you have the ability in Facebook, you can post these emoji, and there's tons and tons and tons of emoji, and you can be a real jerk with emoji if you want to. That's already a possibility. Trust me. I know. We'll have a show about that. I think I just found the title for the podcast, How to Be a Jerk with Emoji, right there.
You too. To be a jerk with emojis. Tune in to our infomercial, our emoji infomercial.
That's right.
And you mentioned getting slammed on Facebook. That never happens.
No. Speak up, America. Yeah, no, I did. Sorry, couldn't resist.
No. It's good. You know, it's kind of. It relieves the pressure of the day.
Yeah. Well, and of course, it's during these periods of time when we're starting to enter into like political cycles or other situations that there is a lot of conflict and a lot of disagreement on that you realize like, yeah, I don't want a dislike button. I don't want to post something that I think I'm being somewhat moderate about and then have half or more of my friends, you know, going dislike, you know,
I've got as many friends. My friends are equally divided between the extremes of political spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we need? We don't need a dislike button. We need like an old 60s hippie phrase or something, like a solid man.
That's yeah. A little peace sign, you know, two fingers up.
Or stone cold real. We need a button like that.
I like that. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's real. Keep it real, man.
Yeah.
You know, something that doesn't really mean that much.
Yes, but just says, I'm right there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I heard, no, like you said,
I'm with you.
Or like, you know, the corporate version of that. I completely support your position.
That's
privately.
That's right. Oh, man.
Yeah, 100% of my support up to a point.
Yes. Up to the point when you don't have any of it. That does come through with, like I said, with these political discussions. It's interesting to see. And I think are fairly, not only are we fairly aligned in our thought process on stuff, we diverge in some of the ways, you know, politically, but I think that we're fairly alike in that you and I both tend to not get real jingoistic and tied into a certain idea or thought on something just because somebody that we like said something about it.
Oh, sure. That we've both changed our minds about things.
Yeah.
You know, we've advocated for things and then said, well, wait, oh, well, you know, further information comes out and we're like, well, wait a minute, I'm not so sure of what I've said before.
Yeah. And that's
rare on Facebook.
That's what I was just going to say, is that is disturbingly rare to see. And there's not really you know, there needs to be like a support group for us, Dave, I think.
Well, I don't know. We also wind up taking on people from both sides, right?
Yes.
On both sides of the question, which,
yes,
that can get confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in my main, so I don't really try to change people's opinion on politics much.
Oh, not you.
What I do try to do, though, is I do try to point out that what I really hate, it's like, you know what, hey, if you say, oh, I love Trump, he's the best guy ever, or if you tell me, hey, you know what, Hillary is awesome, she's going to do so much great for the country, or Bernie's the man, you know, whatever, I'm okay with that. Where I tend to get involved, if you notice, I tend to get involved when people who love Bernie post some junk about Hillary, you know, and or the someone who I know is a Hillary lover posts some junk about Carly or the Donald or something that's just not true or is not complete or doesn't contribute to a conversation that would actually allow people to bring their opinions to the fore. I'm a big proponent of, yes, have your own opinion, but tell me what it is and why you think it, and don't just, you know, start a conversation with your guy's an idiot and my side is the best, because there's nowhere to go from there, you know.
We all need more information, right?
Yeah,
that's what we all, you know, in terms of trying to make a decision about this stuff, the more information we have, the better, and the less. And there's a whole lot of smearing going on, with often groundless.
Yes.
It's good. What's wrong with reasonable political discourse?
Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's the one the one thing that I don't like about the memes is the memes reduce.
Memes are fun.
Yes, I know. I make them myself sometimes. They're a lot of fun to make. And in fact, you know what? That's another cool side of the week I'm going to tell people about. My favorite meme making site. Where did it go? I'm looking for it right now.
I lost it.
I did.
Well, while you're looking for that, have you seen the church sign? It's a server. The guy needs a better server. But you can make your own church sign.
Oh, yes. I did see that.
Whatever you want on a church sign.
Yes.
But good luck. Good luck actually getting it done.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I have seen that. And I did find the meme site that I was thinking of. So it's called imageflip.com. It's imgflip.com. And you can go in there and you can just pick any, I mean, they just have a bazillion and one pictures that you can choose from. And then you type in the text you want on the top of the picture and the text you want on the bottom. You got some other options and things like that. But it makes it super, super easy to create that and then publish it straight out to Facebook or save it to your computer and do whatever you
want.
Wait a
minute. You were just trashing memes and now you're telling people how to go out and make them.
Well, yeah, because I want people to understand that's all it is. Takes. You see a meme that says, did you know Hillary Clinton eats babies for breakfast? You know, whatever it may be. 25% of Donald Trump supporters have been arrested for child molestation. I don't know. Whatever the thing is that you're seeing on there, that's how easy it is to make. That's what somebody did. They went in and they typed a bunch of words on top of a picture of somebody. That's it.
That's going to be the new meme. Michael Cass Kessler says, that's going to be out there and it's going to be true. It'll be a true meme.
There you go. Yeah. 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 If it changes people's minds, then I've done my job. I've done my job. I just want people to think. It just makes them think.
You just want to be Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, please, please save, shoot me now. No. Oh man. Well, you know, he probably makes more than I do. I'm sure of that.
He probably got a better medicine cabinet.
That's true. That's true. I can
nicer
use,
in style and design.
I could use a little upgrade to my meds. You know, that would help a lot of people. That would help a lot of people. Oh man. Speaking of making money, I'm going to kick us back over to technology for a change, and actually talking about Apple again too. So Apple's in the news. I don't mind talking about them a little bit here. Now this was interesting to me. Now I've been a big fan of ad blocking technology for the PCs. I've got it got it on my browser right now. In fact, AdBlock
can't live without ad blocking technology.
Oh, exactly. You know? Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, finally you can actually surf the web and not be confronted by all this stuff. That has not been really a thing for mobile devices up to now. But with iOS 9, they've enabled ad blocking. And so developers have already created a host of solutions that you can purchase. Most of them are for pay on the App Store. That allow you to block ads, not just from websites that you go and surf, but also too for the apps that you've downloaded. They block those ads out of there. And there's been a lot of hubbub about this because, of course, while as a consumer, I don't want to deal with ads, I'm also a developer and I want you to see my ads.
This is the voice of somebody on the threshold to the dark side.
Very much so. Very much so. There's like fireworks going off in both lobes of my brain. And I don't know what's going to happen. The corpus callosum has already started to disintegrate as the two sides are warring here. It's been an interesting thing to watch over the last week here as iOS 9 came out, as a number of these apps came out. I'm going to mention one of the apps now. It's a $3 app. I should say it was a $3 app. That's why I feel comfortable mentioning it. It called Peace, and it was on the App Store, a $3 ad blocker, which quickly, like a rocket.
It no longer exists, right?
Well, it was pulled. Not only was it pulled off from the App Store, by him, so he intentionally pulled it off. The guy Marco Arment, he pulled it off and then also offered refunds to people and said, if you want your money back, just let me know. I'll give you your money back. This app was like a Flappy Bird. This thing went to the top of the charts in no time at all, rocketed up there. $3 a shot. So he was making money hand over fist to block ads for people, but then had a crisis of conscience, and said, I can't do this. And he said, so this is direct quote from Marco Arment, who had the Peace app up. He said that while stopping ads benefits a ton of people in major ways, they also hurt some, including many who do not deserve to be hit. And that kind of, brings down that whole you know, the complexity of the ethics of ad blocking. You know, we get,
yeah, well, we all want free stuff, especially you.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And I understand as well as anybody that free comes at a cost.
Yeah, it does. You know, well, there ought to be some, you know, why create the app if there's no benefit to the creator or to the people that pay the creator?
Yes. Well, and this is what would happen. I mean, if ad blocking became prevalent enough, you would not be able to create apps that could survive without being paid apps. You'd have very limited options for how to increase revenue. And the one thing that people hate more than ads in their apps are those IAP, the in-app purchases that, you know, you get halfway through a game and all of a sudden, hey, you want to continue? $10, you know, or $10 for 50,000 coins in order to get, you know, the special sword that you need to get to the next level.
Yeah, I really don't like that.
Oh, man. Oh, I tell you, those stink. I would prefer to have... you know, interstitials and pop-ups and anything else coming on before I had to deal with one of those in-app purchases, for sure.
Yeah. I was a big fan of, what was that racing game? I can't remember. You know, it's for tablets. You tilt the tablet and
Need for Speed?
Asphalt something. Asphalt.
Oh, yes. Yep.
I can't remember. Asphalt. But anyway, I love the one generation. The next generation was all in, in app purchase, and I stopped playing it altogether.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Asphalt Adrenaline. That was the name.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There was a long series of those games, Asphalt Injection, right. Asphalt Adrenaline. They had a whole bunch of them. They were free when they, it was like pre-installed on some of the tablets when they first came out and things.
Right. But it was a paid app. For an app, it was fairly expensive. It was like in a $10, $20 range or something.
Yeah.
But I much prefer that. I much prefer owning the game rather than, all these, to be manipulated into making in-app purchases.
Yep. Yep. And this is the thing, is that there are games that are good enough that you will pay for them. I did that myself. There was a series of, iPad games that I purchased. I got the first one, for free because it was a special deal on the App Store. And I'm trying to remember what the name of it is. Infinity Blade. That's it. The Infinity Blade series. And I got the very first one. It was a special deal on Apple, like, you know, 2 years after it was released. So it was way old technology. And they offered it for free for a week, and I got it, and I loved it. I just had such a blast with the game that when Infinity Blade 2 then was available, and it was less than $10, and I said, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm pulling the trigger on that because I got so much fun and had so much great gameplay out of that first one. I'm going to do it. But there's a lot of games that people will never, and I probably would not have tried any of those games if I had been forced to pay that up front. I think that's the problem. And that's where these ad blockers are going to cause some issues for publishers, advertisers. The whole ecosystem is going to be disrupted if there is technology that's going to allow you to easily block ads in your games.
Speaking of apps, and free apps at that, and a motivation to have a free app out there. Downton Abbey, you know, the Downton Abbey series.
Oh, yeah.
The PBS tuxedo convention there.
Yes.
They've got an app, a game. They have a game app.
Just sit and some old lady yells at you over tea? Is that you push the button and she says, oh, no, 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 back to your room with you. What kind of an app could this be? Is it better than Upstairs Downstairs? Because if it's not an Upstairs Downstairs club, I don't want it.
sixth and final season is coming up this January. So it's in place to help promote that. But the idea is that the mansion gets ransacked, and then you have to solve it, and it jeopardizes the family. You know, there were so many valuables taken, or something was taken that jeopardize it. I haven't downloaded or played it, and not about to. My question, my big question is, who's the market for this? What are the demographics for this program?
Who how is that? Isn't? Who isn't the in the market for that? Come on. I mean, look, you can go, you can watch PBS all day, and you know, you can throw money at them and get an umbrella and a tote bag, yeah. or you could do this, give them a couple bucks and you get just a wonderful, wonderful game. I'm sure that it's, you know, kind of like an ambery reddish tone, so very pleasing to the eye.
Yeah. Well, they've got pictures of it.
Yeah, okay. It's peaceful, you know, just like watching PBS is, you know, what's there not, it sounds like, you know what it sounds like though? It sounds like this is a big, big deal on these social or these casual gaming is the hidden item type of game.
Yeah.
Mystery item type of game. So I'm guessing it's something like that. So there's... there's probably, not surprisingly, there's probably a lot of crossover between the people that sit and play hidden item games with their cat in their lap and who those who watch Downton Abbey. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, but do they have smartphones and tablets? Well, you know, a lot of seniors are getting tablets.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I haven't seen the demographics on it. I've just seen them walking around with tablets.
I would think so. And any senior out there who's got a tablet or a smartphone, speaking of apps, should be on the App Store right now, Google Play Store anyways, downloading the WRLR app. That's out there and available, and you can grab that and listen to us anytime you want. It's all...
Anytime you want to hear us make fun of old people.
Yes.
Exactly. As it pertains to technology.
Exactly.
By all means.
And that app that you're downloading today, it's all going to change. It's all changing soon. The new WRLR app is going to be out, hopefully within the next... You know what? It takes Apple a disturbingly long time to approve even simple apps. So I'm waiting for the approval process to go through, but we're going to have an Apple app. And when I put that out, I'm going to also release a new Google Play app because I've completely redesigned and reprogrammed everything on the back end. It's much quicker, it's smoother and cleaner. It was already pretty fast. It's a little faster actually now, and I'm moving to a different type of development that I'm not going to go back and try to recode the stuff that I did in the past. I'm just going to put a new app out there and start it over, and I'll let people know when that happens. But you can keep your eyes open for that Apple app. It's right on the cusp of being out there and being ready.
Very cool.
So,
and down the road, you can, you know, when Apple comes out with their self-driving electric car, you can listen to the WRLR on your app.
You got it. Exactly. Exactly. You can listen to it anywhere you are, anytime, anyhow. And you can, and there's no ads to block. So I don't care. Buy all the ad blockers you want. You're not blocking ads. Although we do list some sponsors. Sponsors get their name in lights on there. But that's, I don't think that qualifies as ads in the, in this type of application, because the ads that they're talking about blocking, not to get too technical here, although we are a techie show, the ads that they're blocking, they're actually looking at the way that Google AdMob and the Apple ad resources and Amazon has their own ad configuration thing that pulls in a very specific way with very specific APIs. These are hooks and tools that you can use so that you don't have to program a lot of stuff yourself. These APIs, though, are well known and understood, and that's how the ads come to you, and that's what they're able to block. They get in between the API request and the response code that would come and then pop an ad up on your application. So that's how that happens. I got Robbie Rigel. He's right here. He's ready to go.
Oh man, that's such good news.
He missed Mark Zuckerberg, but that's okay. We'll he'll stick around longer than Mark did. So
wait a minute, sarcastic, or
did
you actually have Mark Zuckerberg on?
We had
your guest
sometimes.
So,
like,
Rob, if he would have been in earlier.
Rob is complimenting me highly. He says he's almost believing that we had Mark. No, I had a recording of Mark on.
Oh, okay.
There was a minute clip from one of his speeches where he was talking about adding a dislike button,
so it was kind of exciting. Then it like wasn't. I know everyone's.
I know everyone's wanted a dislike button forever. I would probably have a lot less friends on Facebook if there's a dislike.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think we talked about it earlier. I don't think they're going to actually do a dislike. I think they're going to
It sounds like they're converting more to a Reddit system, like a downvote or an upvote this comment sort of a thing.
Oh, wow, right. That might be a way to go that would avoid the whole the slam part of getting your posts disliked. I don't know. We'll just have to see. We'll have to see. I can't get Mark back. He's one and done. One and done. He told me he was walking out the door even as he was.
He's here in studio. Sorry. Bye.
Of course, yeah.
we're worried that Mark will take over the show if we have him back.
That's it. Exactly. So I did mention quite a few little cool sites of the week. I'll try to remember to pick those up and put those through for the links. I am going to mention one more though. As you know, I love free stuff. And one of the free things that I'm really liking lately, if you are a small business owner or freelancer, such as myself, I consider myself a bit of a freelancer. One of the things that's difficult to do is to be able to really effectively manage your invoices and your quotes and all the other stuff. And you can invest a lot of time and sometimes money into solutions that are a lot bigger or more complicated than what you really need, or you can go to Wave and my.waveapps.com. You can go in there and create an account for yourself. I've done this myself. This is what I'm using for my my freelancing and consulting. And for free, you can make your own invoices. You can track your quotes and the amounts that you charge to people. It'll take care of taxes for you automatically, and it produces for you reports that you can use directly for your taxes at the end of the year. Also, the only charge is if you wind up doing credit card transactions, which they enable for you, so you can do credit card transactions. But that's how they make their money: is they put a little vig on top of the card there to get Chicago on it.
Cool.
And at that, Dave, I'm going to let you go. Rob's ready. He's chomping at the bit. I'll let you go. Thank you.
Rob.
Thanks, Mike, for joining us. And
Man, I'm good. Take your time.
Did you hear that?
Don't tell him that.
Wait. The problem is, did Bish hear that? That's what we need to know. Did the station owner hear that? No, I'm going to leave anyways because I don't want to get yelled at. Dave, have a wonderful week. Next week, we'll have Jay back with us, and we'll find out the geek trivia questions from last week. We'll also hear about Maker Faire that he was at down in Louisville. And that's about it. Have a good one.
Love you guys. Bye.
Take care. Bye, Dave. Dave Sparky Saganaki. And at that, I am leaving it. We're out of here. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to click off to some podcast only music of the week. You know what I'm going to play for us, I think, is I'm going to do a little You and Me, the Flume remix by Disclosure. I kind of like it. I don't know why. It's a good song. You'll like it too, I hope. You have been listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois, Saturday, September 19th, 2015. Don't turn the dial. Robbie Rigel, Rob Shot first, Up on Deck next, science coming into your ears. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Everything you ever dreamed.